Praise this morning. Hallelujah. It's so good to see everyone in the house of the Lord. Man, I hope you came ready to worship and praise Him. Man, I tell you, friends, I just feel good. It just makes me feel alive to be in your presence here with you and to just give God the glory this morning. Amen. We just want to enter right in and just give Him the praise He deserves. Amen. Would you sing this song with me? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Man, key of C, I believe it is.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. I'll enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. And I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, oh, I will sing, Yes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. Hallelujah. Thy faithfulness, oh, thy faithfulness, and with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Once again now.
Oh, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Oh, I will sing. Yes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness, oh, thy faithfulness. And with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, He is worthy to be praised.
Come on, sing now.
Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, glory, glory to His name. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Listen now.
Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provideth all my need. Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provideth all my need. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
Amen. If you love Him, give Him another hand of praise. Oh, we love You, Lord Jesus. Amen. We want to make Him welcome this morning. Hallelujah. My, You sound so nice. Amen. Let's sing another song. He paid a debt. Amen. Key of C.
He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay, and I needed someone to to wash my sins away. Oh, and now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And He paid a debt at Calvary. Oh, He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase.
You thankful for that?
I now can sing a brand new song. Oh, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? Oh, I then will sing a brand new song, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Amen. You love Him? Man, He's so good to His friends. I'm so thankful He paid that debt for me. Amen. On Calvary. Hallelujah. We just want to change order of the service at this time. Amen. We have some special needs here we want to make mention of. Musicians can play something softly there. I have a few announcements to make as well. Amen. Amen. We just want to be remembering Brother Peter Coffee and Prayer. He was not able to be with us this morning. They had a mechanical failure at work, and he was called on duty to attend to that. Amen. I know he'd want to be here with us. Keep him in your prayers. Amen. We want to remember Brother John Anthony in prayer. Amen. While he's away attending college there, we want to pray that God would keep him up and just encourage him and keep his mind stayed on the Word. Amen. Now, there's a lot of temptations out there, and we just want to make sure that we keep him in our prayers. Amen. Remember Brother Larry in prayer as well, friends. God would bring him out of this condition he's been fighting for a long time. Amen. Remember our dear brother Larry in prayer. Amen. We just want to remember Sister Shirley and Sister Amber and Christy, who are in South Carolina. Apparently that is inaccurate. I see them there. Apologies, sisters. And we're glad to have you with us. Amen. So we just remember those special needs in prayer. Amen. I have a letter here from the Cross family. It says, we wish to thank you all warmly for the love and prayers, the delicious meals, and the help that has blessed us along with the arrival of our new little one. Man, it's such a blessing and honor to be part of this assembly and have the opportunity to grow closer to each of you and to our Lord together. You are in our thoughts and prayers. Love from Brother Matt and Sister Melody and the children. Amen. God bless you, Brother Matt. We're so thankful for them. Amen. And a new addition to their family. Amen. Also have another here. This is from Sister Judy Arnold. So it says, I want to thank and praise the Lord for His grace and mercy and kindness to my nephew for answered prayers. Brother Barry, Lucas got to go home today. He was taken out of ICU yesterday and they sent him home today. Amen. He feeds himself. He eats well, and he can sit in his chair, and he walks. They did give him a walker to take home, and he is doing good, but his head is swollen, and that is bothering him. I want you to know that Lucas is home. I thank everyone for their prayers for Lucas and hope everyone will continue to pray for him as he recovers. God bless you and the congregation richly, Sister Judy Arnold. Amen. God bless you, Sister Judy. Amen. We're praying for you and the quick recovery of Lucas there. Amen. Ain't God good to his friends? I'm so glad to hear praise reports. Amen. Hallelujah. It makes us know that God's moving on the scene. Amen. That's all that I have at this time. Do you have unspoken needs that you'd like to bring before the Lord? Amen. Brother Joseph, would you come at this time and take these needs before the Lord for us? Amen. We want one more announcement as Brother Joseph is coming. We want you to be aware that today is going to be the last day you can sign up for the Christmas dinner. So if you want to sign up, the sheet will be in the library in the back. Amen. And so make sure that you get signed up for that. Appreciate Brother Barry and Sister Becky for hosting that for us. Amen. It also makes mention to bring a $10 gift for the exchange. And if you not have funds available for the gift, that's understandable. And we'll have a few extra gifts to be shared. So make sure you get signed up for that, friends. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Joseph, come at this time and take these needs before the Lord, brother. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Let us pray. Our precious and dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, in thankfulness and praise. Lord, we're so undeserving. Sometimes, Lord, we just seems like we don't measure up to where we ought to be. But, Lord, you're constantly there, loving us and just being with us, Lord. Lord, letting that word just drop from our minds and into our hearts. And, Lord, it just becomes part of us. We're thankful for that, Lord, that you just let us be a part of you. Lord, knowing that your love is just there constantly. Lord, we bring these petitions before you, Lord. We all raised our hands today, Lord, just about in having needs, Lord, that are secret maybe, Lord, in our hearts and things. Lord, we just want to meet these needs. But above all, we want your perfect will to be done. Lord, we want to pray that everything that we pray for will match up with the word, Lord, that it be in your perfect will. And that is our heart's desire, Lord, that you be with us. Lord, the word is coming forth. Our pastor, Lord, he studies and he brings that word before us, Lord. And Lord, we're thankful for a good teacher, Lord, that can help us as we walk this way. And Lord, today we want you to just take our ears, Lord, let us hear and take our minds. And Lord, just be with our pastor, Lord, as he brings forth that word. Lord Jesus, we want to give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for it all. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Joseph. You can have your seats. Amen. Sing this song with me. This is my desire. Man, Brother Keith and family has a special for us. And just after we sing this song, we'll ask them to come and sing for us. Amen. Sing with me now. This is my desire to honor you, oh Lord. With all of my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Oh Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Sing it again now. Oh, this is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Hallelujah. All I have within me, I give you all the praise. All that I adore is in you. Give you my heart, give you my soul. I live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Oh, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Amen. His brother Keith, family are making their way forward. Just had another announcement to make. Sister, this is from Sister Anna Pritchard. She just wants everyone to know that she's going to be having the children's choir practice this afternoon at 3:30, and she would like for the musicians to meet in the sanctuary at 3 so they can practice for that. Amen. So the musicians at 3 o'clock, and then the children's choir practice will be at 3:30. And so just be mindful of that. Amen, Brother Keith.
And I know we'd sung this one last week, but we'd had a request to come in to sing it again, so I just trust it'll be a blessing to you.
Thank you. trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Oh, your love is so much stronger than whatever.
Hallelujah, sing it with them now. Such a beautiful song, amen. I just feel the Spirit of the Lord moving, amen. I believe hearts and minds are ready for the Word this morning. And I'm so thankful that God will do whatever it takes to get a hold of you, amen. Whether it's to move a mountain, He'll go wherever it is, amen. You can't outrun God, amen. He'll find you. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. If our deacons would come forward, this time we're going to take up our morning offering. Amen. We're going to ask our pastor to come forward at this time. Break the bread of life. Amen. Brother Andy Irish, lead us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, our hearts cry this morning, Lord, you should have your way. Have your way, Father. We ask that you bless this tithe and this offering. We ask that the most precious, holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Man, sing this song with me as our pastor makes his way. I stand in awe of you.
You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths
I'd like to sing one more little chorus, if that would be all right. I'm going to make it. He's already said I would. Let's just sing that this morning. Jaron, you can help me out here. How many are glad to be in God's house today? Amen. Let's sing it together now. Let's just prepare our hearts for the word this morning. It's always a good thing to come into God's presence. It's always a good thing to get with God's people. Because good things always happen when God's people get together. So let's sing this morning now. Let's just open our hearts to whatever He has for us today. I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that this morning. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. And I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. Jesus, we want to say this morning it's good for us to be in the house of the Lord. And we already sense Your presence, Lord, and just that atmosphere of faith that's different than any other atmosphere we encounter through the week. I pray now that You would just come in the volume of the book, Lord, and just speak to us today. And Father, You might take our minds and just be our teacher, Lord, be our instructor today, be our comforter, And Lord, I pray that you would be the one who just fills our cup. Despite the many, many times we have gathered here, and Lord, many times you have spoken to us, you have done great things among us, but yet, Lord, there's still a thirst and a desire in our hearts, Lord, for you to move just once more. So today, Lord, we give you this time in church, Lord, in the mornings, in the evening together, Lord. We just submit it to you and just bring ourselves, Lord, like a living sacrifice into your presence. And ask, dear God, that you would just speak to our hearts today, as only the Holy Spirit can. I just pray, Lord, for every need and everyone that's reaching out to you this morning, Lord, both here and those that are listening. We commit them into your care. Father, have your way among us now, we pray. Break the bread of life and forgive us of anything that may be contrary to the moving of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. One more time.
I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I will.
Take a moment, if you don't mind, shake somebody's hand who's near you, and you may be seated this morning. May God bless you. Even if it's family, you know, it's okay to shake their hand. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Let's bring this up here, if you don't mind. And we have a birthday, an anniversary, and an event. One each. December 10th. Josh and Kristen Godwin celebrate their anniversary. How many years?
3 years.
God bless you both. December 14th is Sister Hannah Whitlock's birthday. And because it's her birthday, we decided to throw an event. We're going to have our annual dinner on December 14th, 6 o'clock. Today is the last sign-up day, so if you don't mind. And the reason is because we had to order food, and we want to make sure everybody's covered. We want everybody to be there, all right? And the sign-up is in the library there, if you don't mind. And if there's any other issues related to that, just get a hold of Sister Becky, and she has answers for everything. Brother Elias sent his regards. He was in Namanga last week, and Namanga is actually the border town. They're a keeper of the crossing between Tanzania and Kenya, so it's in the north part, about 100 miles from Arusha, directly north, and a little group up there, and he just went to minister to them and sends his regards. For many, many years, I can't remember how many years. This week is a normal week. I would have been in Tanzania, but I'm not there, I'm here. And they have been in contact because they have trouble with that. But nonetheless, he sends his regards, and this is Brother Elias, and actually he had the opportunity to bring his wife, who's on his left. I'm not going to do that. But he's on his right. No, my right, his left. Is his wife right there, who's traveled with him in the photograph. Now, Brother Mark and Sister Jackie are here, and when Brother Mark's mother was here last time, she asked for some of the players, the MP3 players that have the little micro SD card, and we gave them to Sister Sylvester, and she sent them, I guess, back down to Guyana. And this is some of the just a couple of photographs. If you don't mind, if we could send somebody back around to my laptop back there and do a USB off my laptop there, because this is not current. Brother Mark, what's the name of the town you sent me this morning?
Ripponooni.
I should have remembered that. And this is in the wilderness, and the wilderness area among the Native Guyanese who were there.
Native Indians.
And they're receiving these players, and this has just been a real blessing to them to be able to receive that. If you don't have a laptop, you don't have a phone that's able to do that, to have one of these players is a great blessing. So we really appreciate that. And Brother Mark, we should find out if these folks would enjoy having more of these. And, you know, we'll try to do what we can to, and it's possible to fill barrels, shipping barrels, for Guyana. And I would love to do that as a church, you know, to be able to put some supplies in there, for the people. So we're still planning on that and working on that to be able to get, some of the supplies to the people. And, they really appreciate what comes from, this part of the world. So that's a great blessing, and it's not immediate, but it, you know, over time you start to see those things trickle out, so people can hear the voice. And I think this is really nice because it's very simple, it's chargeable, rechargeable, and it has all of Brother Branham's message. And in this part of the world, they speak English, right? English is good, and so it's really good for them to be able to have that and to be able to listen to all the sermons. And this is a real fruit of the effort of getting those micro SD cards out and be able to do that. In Zambia, they're doing the same thing. I had a note the other day from Zambia, and I brought over a handful of players, maybe 20 when I went over there last summer, and they sent over a note and said these have become so popular that they want lots more. And I said, well, you know, could we send 100? And they said, that's a good start. So we have to find a way to get those over there, and shipping to those countries sometimes takes a while. But that's what we're planning to do, Lord willing. If you don't mind, let's stand to your feet one more time, and we'll just have you turn in the scripture. We'd like to look in the book of Colossians here, chapter 1. Colossians, the first chapter. As I mentioned on Wednesday night, we are honored to have the McGarrys with us today, and appreciate them being with us. And so tonight, Brother Aaron's going to take the service, and we'll let him have his say tonight. And so we're looking forward to that. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 9. Paul writes these words, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," the "it" he's referring to here is the faith that the people in Colossae expressed towards Paul and towards the word of the hour. If you go back just to verse 4, just for a moment there, or verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all saints, and for the hope which is laid up." And in verse 8, "who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." And so this is a believing people that Paul is referring to. And he says, since we heard this, since we heard your faithfulness and your faith in the word of the hour and your love for the saints, love for one another, and love for the message of the hour, he says, "we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." What a great prayer. But what a great prayer to have answered in your life. Right? "That ye might walk worthy." If this happens, then verse 10 might happen. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." How many want to increase in the knowledge of God? Not to become intellectual, but to increase in the knowledge of God. "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness." How many would like to have a little touch of joyfulness? May God add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So, I'm going to ask you this morning now, because I'm just going to take this one service this morning, I'm going to ask you just to lock in with me if you don't mind here, all right? And you do that very well, and you do that very often, and I really appreciate that. But let me just begin, because my focus this morning is not so much what's going to be on the screen here, but I wanted to have a couple of things on here that will help not only give us a little period of review here from last Sunday, but also to bring a couple of things that I think would be significant for you. When we talk about the sovereignty of God and understanding His nature, this is not in any way an attempt at all to try to explain God. Because I believe God is beyond explanation. He is above our understanding, right? We can understand things about Him, but it would be an insult to our intelligence and certainly an insult to God's for us to say, we got it all figured out, we understand who God is and everything about Him. That's something we've got down pat. One thing is certainly true about God and the understanding that we have of Him, and that is that the Creator must be, a creator of something must be outside of His creation. In other words, let's say it this way. I do a little pottery, and some of you here do pottery, and when we start, we take a lump of clay. We can't take the lump of clay and say, become something. Because the ability to become something, it resides in the creator or the molder, not the clay itself. Right? Somebody's got to exert a force on that clay and make decisions about it, make design choices about it, before it becomes something. If the clay could become something, you wouldn't need the potter. The clay needs the potter. But we can also say that the potter needs the clay, right? So when we talk about God as a creator, it's not God just creating, thank you, it's not God just creating men on the earth, but it's a creator who's outside of that creation, fashioning things or making decisions about things because He is outside of it. But remember now, God cannot be a creator without something here that He's created. We can't refer to Him as a creator unless there's actually a creation, right? That might seem a little lofty here, but it is certainly true. Okay, this is certainly true. That God's ability to be able to create and to mold and to shape is His sovereign will. It's His sovereign choice to do that. And God's made decisions, and He's made decisions about this long before we ever got here. So God's not changing His mind, or God's not finding a better way. Let me say this as well. God doesn't make mistakes. There are people that say that prophets don't make mistakes. Funny thing, I've never heard Brother Branham say that. Now, let's take a look at a couple of statements here just about the sovereignty of God for a moment. He says, I'd like to speak on that some night. He said the super sign and how that He, God, stretched His tent down here to dwell and be a human being that we might know the nature of God. When God expresses Himself, then when we come to be familiarized with the nature of God. And when we see Jesus, we see God in Him. And we see what God was and God's nature. He manifested and He displayed what God was to redeem man back to Himself again. So when we saw Jesus standing on the earth, He was a redeemer, right? He was a savior when He came on the earth. Everybody with me? And that's what He was, and that's what He was here to do. So we see the mercy of God on display. We see the compassion of God on display when we saw Jesus here. And that's the nature of God, to express His attributes and to express the fact that He does care about mankind that's fallen. And He does care about a sinner. He does care about those that are lost. Aren't you glad He cares about those that are lost? But remember now, without having an understanding of God's nature, and this is what's really important for us this morning, without having a really good understanding of God's nature, we can misinterpret what God does very easily, because we can make assumptions about things. We can make conclusions about things based on the teaching that we have or based on the knowledge that we have, and we can actually be off track. I've been off track lots of times. And we can be off track. Hey, a lot of us believe that Santa Claus came down the chimney and Eve ate an apple in the Garden of Eden. Caused all the problems, right? And we think what we know is right, and then the Word of God corrects that and changes that. Now, let's take a look at another statement here. Just leave that there, folks. That'll be fine. We'll work with that. In the Church Age book, listen to what Brother Branham says. Many will misunderstand him because they have been taught Scripture in a certain way, which they consider truth. Now, this becomes a very narrow thing, doesn't it? Because a lot of people are believing things that are found in the Bible here, and they consider those things to be truth. Obviously, things that are in the Scripture are truth. But when he comes against that, when he, this messenger of the last day, when he comes against that, they will not believe. When Jesus came against the teaching of the day, they didn't believe what was said about him. And he invited them, go search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. Go back and look in the Word and see what the Word said the Messiah was going to do. And compare that to what's happening before you. And if you can match those two, then you know what? We've got a fulfillment of God's Word. Right? We've got a fulfillment here. And you cannot deny God's fulfillment when you can see it in prophesied and see it in action with your own eyes. And then we have a match. Let me tell you something. You've got to react to that. You've got to respond to that. You cannot just dismiss that and say, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter when God fulfills His Word, right? And even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger because so much has been called God's truth by deceivers. The power of deception is a very powerful power. The power of deception is a very powerful spirit. And it's something that, as Brother Branham said, even true ministers, people with a true calling in their life, he said they'll misunderstand the messenger. They can look at a messenger of God and misunderstand really who he is or what he's there to do. They can misapply the Scripture. They can want him to be something else. They can want him to, be attributed to something else. They can make him less than a prophet, or they can dismiss him and say, well, he's not part of our organization because they've been taught Scripture a certain way. When he comes against that, they will not believe. So you can see the challenge that God has, the Holy Spirit has, and his remedy is to bring the spirit of wisdom and revelation among the people, or like Paul wrote here in Colossians here, that we might have a knowledge of his will in all spiritual understanding, that we might be able to have, listen, we might be able to have a light in the last day that pierces through the darkness of Laodicea. And Brother Branham looked out and he saw those, you know, that image that he had of the circles there. And he said out in Laodicea at the end of it, there was hardly any light at all. He said it was just a circle that we put there, but it was total darkness. I'll tell you what, I'm glad for the light that has come in this last day and has pierced that darkness, a darkness that a normal person would not be able to see. I'm thankful for the light that we have in our lanterns that wise virgins are able to possess and see their way forward to the kingdom. Without it, where would you be? I'll tell you where you'd be. You'd be subject to the people that are teaching you, who also are in darkness, and you'd be subject to your own interpretation of that. And this is not a time for you to be interpreting God's Word on your own. Now, when it comes to the will of God, as we said, or the sovereign will of God, we know there are some things that God took care of himself. He didn't put certain things to a vote. He didn't ask your opinion. He just went ahead and did certain things. And we refer to that as the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God. And so when he sent Jesus and he decided to send a Savior to the world, that decision was not made because the meter was really peaking in the red zone as far as sinfulness. He decided that from the Garden of Eden, right? You remember when he took that lamb and slayed that lamb? And well, we know the lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. But the first expression we have on the earth before man is that when he took that lamb and slew that lamb and took the skins and put it on Adam and Eve there, it was an expression that God was going to provide a Savior. And so this was God's decision long before we got to Calvary. Right? And so there's some things that God sovereignly knew we needed and sovereignly planned all the way through, down through time. And we've talked about this last Sunday. And then Brother Branham also said in this sermon here, "Thou knowest all things," that Philip left Samaria to go out into the desert in the midst of a big meeting for one man, an Ethiopian, returning to Ethiopia. And Philip never did return back to Samaria. As far as the Bible gives reference, God knows what to do. God knows what to do. Took one man, just got one man, in the middle of a revival, and took him and placed him in a desert. And the Bible, Brother Branham refers to this, and I've mentioned the full quote before, where he says there's no Bible reference at all where the Ethiopian went back to the meeting at all. And he said, many times we guess at it, but God knows just exactly what's right. And how I love Him, His sovereignty, His goodness, and His mercy. You know what? God is smart. He knows exactly who to choose, and He knows exactly what to do. I had a note yesterday, and I had a picture. I didn't bring Nolan the picture here. But my brother Mark, a couple of Sundays last month, when I did that little testimony of Bound for Glory, And I was telling you that 40 years, this year, December 23rd, be 40 years since I surrendered my heart to the Lord. And you know, it's just kind of been a special time for us. Well, yesterday was 40 years since my brother Mark came into the message. And he was the first one in our community. And I just got to thinking about that yesterday. And I thought, I wrote him a little note, which is very uncharacteristic of me. And I paid him a compliment. And I had to work at it and draft it several times, but I did say to him that, you know, it's just amazing what God actually did by taking one man, one young man, who had absolutely no association with the Bible or Christianity or a prophet or anything, and take one man and stir in his heart and cause him to walk into the light and deal with him in such a way that not only his family, but, you know, for me and my other brother Bob and, you know, just the church that began there and all the other works that were done. And just by taking one man, God is able to affect lives for the kingdom. And I said, I believe great will be your reward just for simply following the leading of God when you never even knew God. You never even knew anything about God. But God was able to deal with your heart and move you along. And I said, I believe that great will be your reward in heaven. He wrote me this morning and he said, thank you for the kind words, but who are you? What did you do with my brother? Where is he? And I should show you the picture. But, you know, Brother Branham is saying the same thing that, you know, God really knows who he's tapping. God knows that, you know, I can just take one man out of a community of darkness, and I can take one Catholic young man and I can stir in his heart, because I know what's going to come out of that experience that he'll have. I know what's going to happen as a result of that encounter that he's going to have with me. And God can know that. I've said to you many times, I use the illustration that we can cut open an apple and we can count the seeds, but only God can look at a seed and count the apples that come from it. Only God can do that. Only God can look at taking one young man and just looking at what the fruit that comes from that. And in your own lives and ministers and different ones that God will pick. And this is what he did right here. And that's God's sovereign work. That God can actually take one man from here when something's happening. And logically we would think, my goodness, you want to fuel that. You want to keep that going. You want to add more to the fire. But God takes that man, Philip, and just brings him over here for one man. And then all the way down to Ethiopia. And today, even today, in Ethiopia, there's a great work that's still going on in terms of the message of the hour. Romans chapter 1. And Paul writes this. He said, and this is a great opening in his letter, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. This is something that God determined concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be. That phrase there is that determination by God without interaction with anyone or anything. He's a sovereign God. Do you believe he's a sovereign God? He declared him to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. So in him was the fullness of God. In him was the resurrection. In him was the entire plan of redemption, right? And Paul says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. This is not something that Israel chose, because even when Israel was presented with it and confronted with it, they said, you know, this man is Beelzebub. He's full of devils, full of demons. It's absolutely amazing. So I showed you this last time. I think it is important for us to recognize that if God is actually the one who's in control. If he's a sovereign God who's in control, he's above the creation. Even the Bible says that his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are greater than ours. Then therefore, our life then has to take on a theme. And the theme really is to submit ourselves to that higher power, because if we understand anything about what that means, then he is going to have his way in the end. He allows certain things to happen, right? He allows certain things to come to pass. And he allows things to happen in your life even that we do not understand. There are good things and things that are not so good, but God allows it anyway. And we have the promise with all of that, that all things work together for good to them that love God, right? Well, let me illustrate that this way. Let me just say this to you. There are certain foods that I absolutely detest. There's not many, as you can probably tell. But there are some things that I don't like. Horseradish is one of them. Sauerkraut is another one. And there's a story behind that one. And the third thing is I've traveled enough in Russian-speaking countries that I don't like mayonnaise. I don't even like to handle... This is really true. I don't like to handle the bottle. I don't like to have to take it out of the fridge. If my wife tells me, hey, we need to have some mayonnaise, then I'll just... help me, Lord. And I'll go down and I'll buy it because she asked me. But there's just a couple of things, but I really don't like them at all. We have a Mexican restaurant in our town, like every other town in America. And it's just a little place that we've been going to for a long, long time. And it's just kind of a go-to place, what we refer to. And we'll just run in there, and it's a very consistent. And they have a dip that they give you before you eat your meal. It's their purposeful intention to ruin your meal. And they give you a big plate of chips, and they give you a bowl of sauce. And in this sauce, there's a point here, folks. In that bowl of sauce, it's got a certain taste to it, and it's only in this restaurant, and it's got a mixture. One time, we finally said to them, hey, what's in this? What? How did you make this? And they said, oh, we take a little horseradish, take a little mayonnaise, we take a little, all the other ingredients that I don't like and a couple of other things. They said, we mix that together. Oh, yeah? I mean, I'll go to that restaurant and order that just to bring home myself because it's such a great thing. What's the point? The point is that there are certain things individually you'd never take, but combine them the right way and it comes out into something good. Only God can do that in your life. God does not always give us everything that we like or everything that we want. God doesn't give us everything that we favor or that we request. Not at all. There are some things that you experience in life that are actually very distasteful. And some things that you don't understand. Some things that if you could, you would never do that again. But Romans 8:28 still applies. Because God's able to take all of that and work it together for good to them that love God. So therefore, there are some scriptures in the Bible and some things that happen to us that, we really love and we gravitate to that. But let me tell you, we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And there are some scriptures there, and there are some things Brother Branham said that sometimes we labor over, or we question, or we wonder about, we ponder about. But I will tell you, there are things there that even reveal things in us that maybe we don't like. There are things that maybe we bristle against, and it's like rubbing the cat the wrong way, rubbing the cat for the wrong way. And yet, somehow or another, God knows how to take all of that, all of the things that He gives to us, and blend it together to make you what you are. To cause you to grow and become the person that God wants you to be. So therefore, like R.C. Sproul said, we do not segment our lives, giving some time to God and some to our business and some to schooling while keeping parts to ourselves. You remember Brother Branham talking about doors in door, where he said we keep these doors locked. He said the idea is to live all of our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, for the honor and the glory of God. That's what the Christian life is all about. Come on, I need everybody to say amen. The idea is to live all of our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, for the honor and glory of God. That's what the Christian life is all about. So we don't have a life here in church that's drastically different than the life at school or life at work or life among other people that we know. If we do, then I will tell you something that's a lack of surrender or submission to the sovereign God who exists and knows all things. Because even if it doesn't make it to your social media, God still sees it. And it's important for us to recognize that. Now, let me just kind of... I'm a visual person, as I have said, and I just graphically, I'd like to show it to you this way. In your car, you have a bunch of different dials that show you all kinds of things about what's going on. And things that you rely on because they give you a good indication. Brother Joe over here, Joseph, they look at dials all the time, right? Readings. And, remember the old days, some of you old people remember how you used to get out and fix your car, right? And now you need a robot practically to get in there and hook everything up and tell you what's going on. But the dials tell you the things that you need to know at a glance. They can tell you what's happening. For the Christian life in our journey, we've got two. Here's one of them, is the will of God. I want to know if what I'm doing is the will of God. Can I find this in God's Word? Can I say that the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this? And I'm going to know if the Holy Spirit has led me to do this, if I can find something that's comparable in the Word of God, right? Because God is not going to lead you to do something outside of the will of God. If a woman says, well, I had a dream and I saw myself in short hair, so I'm going to cut my hair. I believe that the Lord gave me the dream. Good luck with that. So I want to know continually, am I in the will of God? Whatever I'm doing, is it found in the will of God? And I need to know where the meter is on that. Are we okay? I believe if you check your meter this morning, you're in the will of God being in church, because I think that's a part of the Christian experience, right? And the second thing is the presence of God. Does God bless and honor what I'm doing? Does God prosper that thing that I'm doing? Does He favor that thing? Because we know that God is not going to bless a lie. God is not going to stamp His stamp of approval on something that is false. God is not going to do that. And so therefore, you have to look at it and say, is this the will of God? This is what I do. I look at the will of God. And then I want to know, is there any answering back from God? Is God a long way from this? I don't know if you've ever done it before, but I've attempted to do a couple of things. Not wrong things, but, things just maybe as a hobby or even just activities. And, you try to get it going, try to get it to work, try to get something going. And you just can't, it's almost like it's like you're talking in an empty room. There's no response. There's just nothing there. You're looking for, Lord, are you anywhere near this? And we're not necessarily going by feelings or anything, but how many know that when the presence of God draws near and you know that you're walking in the will of God, there's just something special about that presence? And I want to know. I want to know in the course of my Christian life, is what I'm doing, is it the will of God, and does the presence of God attend that? Does He bless that? Does He honor that? And that's what I want to know. Because God has appointed certain things that He has determined, and He sovereignly has chosen them. And there are things that He gives to us that we might walk in the will of God and we might respond to the will of God. And therefore, we express our obedience and our love to Him by certainly communing with Him and walking in that direction that He gives to us. Now, again, these are a couple of statements here that we made last Sunday. Brother Bram's talking about Martin Luther, and he wants us to get this. He said that in the times of the Reformation, he said it was not a restoration that Luther brought, but a reformation. It started out in the doctrine of justification, which meant that salvation was all of God. It was not through the church. And he said, and Luther preached the sovereignty of God and of election. And he's justifying his choice of Luther as a church age messenger. And Luther knew that it was all of grace. And Brother Branham's watching this because Luther is a person who respected the sovereignty of God. And he had come out of the system of the Catholic Church, which absolutely disrespected the sovereignty of God. They didn't believe that God knew enough really to control it and to run his program. So therefore, the Catholic Church took over and did that for God. So therefore, Luther said prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is rather laying a hold of his willingness. Lord, what would you have me to do? What's your perfect will here? And he said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. I want to do it anyway. I want to marry this guy. 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 That's a prayer that attempts to overcome God's willingness. Right? Or God's reluctance, rather. And, you know, if you're like Balaam, God eventually said, hey, buddy, have it your way. You know, it isn't my will, but you know, you've won. You've overcome your reluctance. Last night we were in the hotel. We had four grandchildren. Three of them were in one bed. The other one was in the bed with us. The littlest one. 6:30 in the morning, I declared he was the winner. He won. He actually pushed me out of the bed. And I said, you won, buddy. You know, that's it. He's sound asleep. And he's got his feet on my back, and he's pushing me right off the side of the bed. He won. Brother Branham said in his own testimony about his upbringing through the Baptist church, he said, the reason I stuck with the Baptist church was the sovereignty of the local church, which I think is apostolic. Sovereignty of the local church, as I said, is a great thing. It is a great thing because we are under the hierarchy of none. We are subject only to the Holy Spirit, right? And so it gives us a freedom to be able to preach what we want, to be able to minister in the way that we want, and for you to be able to worship in the way that you want. Nobody's telling you that we can have drums or not have drums. Nobody's telling us that we have to line up or play a certain tape on a certain Sunday because somebody else is playing a tape on a certain Sunday. Brother Bram said, I don't even attend the fellowships, but in the Baptist church, he said, it's not a denomination. He said, it is now, but it was not supposed to be a denomination. So they had good intentions when they began, and he said, I stuck with it because they believed in the sovereignty of the local church. He said, but it's too bad they've moved from that. They've gone from that. Sovereignty is a great thing because it gives us freedom. But I will tell you something, sovereignty also carries a risk with it because there are people that all of a sudden feel like they have no accountability. Nobody can tell me what to do, so I can do whatever I want. You ought to pray that the ministry in this church, because you're a part of this church, you ought to pray that God keeps the ministry accountable to God. Because I pray all the time that you also would be accountable to God. And it's very important that we maintain that. Now, let me just divert for a moment here, because I just want to say this, that, you know, God... God has ministered his word in unique ways. And we know the word of the Lord comes to a prophet. And a prophet establishes many things. He establishes order in the body of Christ. The use of gifts and finances. I mean, there's a number of things that prophets touch on. Prophets touch on the law like Moses did. Also, we know that when God's fixing to do something, God will send a prophet like John the Baptist. God uses a prophet as a signal or a sign that something imminent is about to happen. Brother Branham often preached and talked about warning before judgment and the sending of a prophet who brings warning to a people, just like in the days of Noah. It is a very important thing for people to catch that God is actually sounding out something because something is going to follow that. And I will just say this to you very carefully. I think it's an important thing for you to catch the truth of the message of the hour, while it's invisible, before the consequences of this message become visible. Now, let me just say it, explain it this way. When Noah believed the unseen thing, that was a whole lot better than him actually seeing the thing he was preaching about, which was rain. If you saw the rain, it was too late. You had to catch the revelation of what Noah actually talked about. This message is a warning before judgment. Tribulation follows it. It's better for you to catch the revelation of that than it is for you to catch the consequence of that. Does that make sense? So prophets do that. Prophets, they speak in a certain way because God sends them at a certain particular time. Now, I'd also say this, that prophets prepare us to enter into the presence of God. Prophets prepare us to enter into the presence of God. Now, if you don't mind, take your Bible, and I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 30. Actually, Exodus chapter 29. Let's take a look there for a moment. Exodus, the 29th chapter. Now, I like to pay attention to things that God pays attention to, or things that God makes a big deal about. There are some things in the Bible that God makes a big deal about. He says it not only once, but he says it a number of times, in a number of places, and he says it for all kinds of different reasons. But when God makes a big deal about something, we ought to sit up in our seat and say, oh, wow, I didn't realize it was such a big deal to God. Here's one of them. And the subject is washing. In Exodus chapter 28, God actually begins to describe the priesthood, the garments of the priesthood. He talks about the particular materials that the priest is going to wear. In verse 15 of chapter 28, he talks about the breastplate. He talks about the Urim and the Thummim in verse 30. He talks about in 31 the robes that they're going to wear, the crown, the garments of the priest and the high priest. Because remember now, the high priest was the man who upon whom the sins were placed. And he carried them into the presence of God to get reprieve for a year. The sins were covered for a year. Not completely done away with like they are now, but he carried the sins of the people into there with representation in the Urim and Thummim. Right? You're with me, right? And God extended forgiveness to the people through the year. So nobody could just kind of wander in there and say, hey, I made a mistake after the high priest went in. It's all right if I come in and leave this sin in here. You couldn't do that. God had a very specific approach into the presence of God. He had very specific requirements as to what that priest could wear, what he could do, what he could bring with him and what he could not bring with him. Chapter 29. Talks now about the preparation or the consecration of these priests that went into the presence of God. Verse 1, and this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them that hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office, take one bullock and two rams and so forth. And they had to be, there was offerings actually offered for this priest who came in there. And then there was blood given to him, and he had to you know, walk in a certain pattern, and there was sacrifices that were laid out, and blood that was going to be sprinkled towards the mercy seat. And it goes on in chapter 29. It's very detailed. It's very specific. This is what God is actually teaching them, because it's coming directly from God to Moses to the people. Chapter 30 begins to talk about now this tabernacle and this altar of incense and the different things that are included there. I'm just giving you the background here. In chapter 30, let's look at verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt make a laver of brass. I want you to make a laver of brass. This is probably what it looked like. A high priest who would have, not a great big thing, but a laver all made of brass. Before the high priest went into the place of gold. In the holy of most holy place, things in there were made of gold, right? Not brass. Because brass is a symbol of judgment, gold is a symbol of deity. So before we go into the place, God's place, we're going to go through the cleansing or the judgment of sin. And what they were going to do at this laver was simply to wash. Because God wanted a believer to come into His presence clean. Now, we know that water doesn't wash away sin, right? If it did, then you know what? We could baptize everybody every Sunday morning, and you know that would do us for the week. Watch now what He tells us to do here, what He told them to do in Exodus chapter 30. Thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also brass. The whole thing, from top to the bottom, was made of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Aaron and his sons shall wash there because they're going to go in and do the sacrifice of God. And they're going to intercede on behalf of the people. Now, let me just say this because I think it's important for us to understand that you can actually be, listen to me now, you can actually be born again. But because we live in a world that's full of filth and Netflix and all the other things that are in this world, you can have dirty feet. You can have dirty hands. You ever been around, you know, at your workplace and you come back at the end of the day and they're telling certain kind of jokes and they're talking about a certain kind of a thing that's going on in the world and this is the craze and, you know, they got a carnal way of thinking about things and, you know, you realize, you know, your mind's not on God all day long. And, you know, it's just the environment that you're in. If you're in school, if you're in a university today, right? I mean, the atmosphere is not exactly amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, right? And it's just that environment and just the interaction, the rubbing shoulders with the world. And sometimes you can feel like even when you, maybe you're talking to somebody who's backsliding or something else and they're telling you what they're doing and, the sins that creep in and even ministers, you know, you're listening to the things that go on in people's lives. People that, you know, even ought to know better, but, you know, these things are happening there. You come away feeling like you'd like to just get washed off. You haven't lost your salvation. It's just that you like to get washed again. And the best place for us to be, the place that a believer is most comfortable, is in the presence of God. But sometimes the note is, and this is what God's making a big deal about, that if you're going to come into the presence of God, it's not just for anybody. But whenever you do come in, there is a way for you to come in. And that is you stop at that brazen altar just before the presence of God, and you wash your hands and your feet there, and then you can enter into the presence of God. A continual washing by the water of God's Word. And I believe, saints of God, when you may view me a certain way or ministers a certain way or whatever. You might have an arm's length relationship with ministers because you might have been through stuff in your life or whatever else. But I will tell you what, when you sit there and open your heart to the hearing of the Word of God and allow that Word to wash over you, it's accomplishing a number of things. And I believe it's really not anything less than the Holy Spirit taking your feet in His hands and washing all of that stuff away that doesn't belong. And the Holy Spirit taking your hands and pouring water over them and allowing not only a cleansing power to come into your life and a re-cleansing power. There's nothing wrong with getting re-cleansed and re-washed and immersed and showered by the presence of God and the Word of God. How many enjoy that really now from your heart? You know, you just enjoy a good service where it feels like the presence of God was there to wash over you and you go away feeling different than when you came in and there's just something pure and clean and right about it. It just strikes the soul and does something that nothing else does in this world. Because it's not from this world. It's from another kingdom. And God wants to wash you because He wants to bring you into His presence in that place of gold and allow you to be able to just exist in there for a while. And that's a foretaste of glory divine. One sweet day, we'll cross over and be in that place forever. But God wants you to come into that presence. I'll tell you what, sometimes just sitting here and listening to the Word of God, it accomplishes a lot of things that you may not be aware of. You may think of me a certain way, or you may look at me, oh, it's just Brother Barry. He's red in his face, not for long, but he just goes on and on and on and tells his stories over again because he doesn't remember and all the rest of that. But let me tell you, outside of that, lift yourself above that and realize when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and giving you the word for the hour, the stabilizing word of the hour, it's washing you and it's preparing you to go somewhere. Because I'll tell you what, listen to me this morning, your spirit is intended to match the world we're going to, not the world you're living in. And God is molding that all the time. And Satan is attacking that all the time. Come on, say amen. Let somebody say amen. Satan knows he can't rob you of the gene of God that God placed in there, but it can affect your spirit and it can affect your flesh continually. and make you think and say and confess things that are not true at all, because he knows he can't get into that third realm, but he can attack the first two realms. And I thank God we have the Holy Spirit that washes over us from time to time, and that's why the gathering of God's people is a good thing, and you can't afford not to do it, because otherwise we would become dirty and filthy with the world out there, even with a real experience with God. And God's idea here in the Old Testament that whenever somebody came into the presence of God, whenever a sacrifice was killed and stripped and the blood was used, here's what a prophet said. He said, before any sacrifice is received to God, it's first got to be, go to Jeffersonville? No, it's got to be washed. Paul tells us in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So what are you supposed to do first when you come? Lord, wash me. Wash me whiter than snow. Only by the blood of, through the blood of Christ can we do that. So the scripture now, just follow it now as we go on through here. And Moses, this is Leviticus now. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is one of those classic places. Don't read. It was one of those classic places where, caught you, didn't I? We have all the parties that are supposed to be there. And the one who's not supposed to be there is not there. Satan's not there. You have God, the prophet, and the people. You got this set up here. And when you have that, let me tell you, God's going to speak. God's going to say something. And this is what's happening here. The tabernacle of the congregation, or the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing that the Lord commanded to be done. This is what God wants. All right? How many knows he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. And he put on him the coat. So you know what had to happen with Aaron and his sons? They had to take off what they had on, and they had to lay it aside. And then Moses took them. He just didn't give them new garments. He just didn't give them new doctrine. But he took them. They had to take their clothing off. And Moses actually stood there and washed them with water. He actually, I mean, this is not just a dip. This is not just a hand sanitizer. He actually took the water and this, here's the symbol now. And God's making a big deal of this for the ministry, that God wants him to take off what they had on. And he wants to wash them completely and then give them a new garment to go in. Now, in order to go into the presence of God, you just got to do it my way. Because you know what? The words that are underlined there says, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. So Moses and Aaron and his sons now, they're standing there completely dressed, they're completely washed in a different outfit at all. They don't have the same old stuff on there. They don't have what they learned in the Baptist church or somewhere else. They don't have any of that. Now they have on this new garment. Where did they get it? Where did they get it? They didn't get it by, reading the Bible on their own. They didn't get it by just waiting around at the top of a mountain and waiting for God to write commandments on their own stone. You know where they got it? They got it from a prophet, a vindicated prophet who came to them and said, take off what you got on and let me wash you, number one, and we're going to put something new in place there. Come on, saints of God, for people to say, well, I don't need this message and I don't need to listen to a prophet and so on. I'd have to say this to you. Good luck. Because you're probably going to go back to the thing that you were always wearing. You've got to be wearing something different when you come into the place that's covered in gold. You got to come in. You got to come in a certain way. And this is not my idea, and it wasn't Brother Branham's idea. It was God's idea to have the people that entered in and interceded on behalf of the people to come in a certain way and to be dressed a certain way and to have the old things displaced by truth. Because God's going to honor truth. God's going to bless truth. And they brought Moses and Aaron and his sons in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Hold on, you say, hey, listen, I'm born again. Let me tell you, you can be born again and live in Laodicea. You need a wash from time to time. You don't need another new birth experience because you don't need to be born again again. You just need to make sure that you're cleansed. And there, come on, has anyone here made anything they'd love to have washed off from last week, for instance? Seen something, said something, lost your temper, or said things to your children, and you're even looking around, making sure nobody's looking. You always have to be sure that your children are not old enough to tell, hey, mommy, you don't want to know what daddy did? So I remember when my boys were old enough, and you don't know they're old enough until this happens, right? But I remember when my boys were old enough and say, wow, dad, that's quite a number on that speedometer there. That's way more than what that sign says. You crossed the line. You've crossed the point with your kids, right? So Paul is actually putting this cleansing now into our hands. Because there are things you can, listen, there are things you can do to clean up your act. Is it all right to say that? There are probably things you can clean out of your house. There are things you can probably clean out of your computer. There's probably things you can clean out of your phone. But let me tell you this. It's not just the process of cleaning. It's, Lord, give me the desire to separate from that. Because we believe in holiness. We believe in living right. And I want to live in a way that pleases you. Take off the old thing, Lord, and give me something new. And in order to do that, I've got to be washed. This is something that God makes a big deal about. Now, this is not the right sermon here, but on the other one, I had even more scriptures here. And Paul says we were sometimes foolish. Any volunteers? I mean, I can point out a few here. Disobedient. Any volunteers? Deceived. Lots of volunteers there. Serving, in other words, this is our story. This is our testimony, right? We were. Past tense. We were. But after that, verse 4, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Righteousness doesn't come before regeneration. Let's read the verse. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what Paul is saying? You don't work your way into holiness. Holiness comes because of the presence of God. How do you get into the presence of God? You wash first, come into the presence of God, and God bestows displaces unrighteousness with righteousness. There's a renewing that goes on. But it's not because of anything that you've done. It's what He's done. It's what He's done for us. It's His benevolent blessings that come by His sovereign grace. And so it's an important principle. It's an important thing for us to realize. But now, let me just divert and say this, that when God makes a way, it's important for us to remember that there is a timing as well. There's a preparation, and God, through a prophet, allows us to be able to prepare ourselves to enter into the presence of God. But He also helps us understand the timing of God. And there's a lot we know about the timing of God now that we didn't know prior to this last day. And the Bible speaks very clearly about lessons like this, for instance, in Luke chapter 12. And Jesus, in the middle of His teaching, and just for time's sake, let's come down. And He says, He's talking about a faithful steward, a faithful minister. He said, verse 45, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth His coming, he shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, to eat and drink and to be drunken. A delay is a tricky thing. God says He's going to do something, like the end is upon us. Noah no doubt preached that, but it took 120 years to get there, right? Brother Branham declared, absolutely, thus saith the Lord, we're living in the end time. We're still here. A delay, I believe, can bring out character. A delay can bring out qualities of real maturity and growth and stability in the time you're living in. So in other words, in some people, they say, you know what, we're still here. We didn't expect to be still here, but we're still here. But thank God one day we won't be here. But until that day, I'm going to do whatever I can to help people get to the kingdom. I'm going to try to do all I can to spread God's word. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to do the thing that God's commanding me, and I want to just be sensitive to the will of God. And for some people, hey, I'm one of His. I'm not worried about that. So whether it goes on a year or 20 years, I'm thanking God for what He's done for me, and you know what? We'll get there. And in the meantime, Lord, help me to grow and let my spirit match that world over there, Because that's the goal, isn't it? And we just step into there. Because death doesn't change you. It only changes your dwelling place. So that's the idea. For in the delay, or no matter how long it takes until the change of our bodies, for some people, it's a character building time. It's a character forming time. But the warning that Jesus gives us, and the warning, for instance, when you remember when King Saul waited around for Samuel to come in order to offer the sacrifice before the battle. You remember that? And Samuel didn't come. He didn't come in what he thought was the timing that he expected. And Samuel to be there. And so he says, well, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do this myself. And he offers an offering. And as soon as he does, bang, Samuel shows up. And the delay for some people, listen, the delay for some people is absolutely disastrous. Whether you go back to the Garden of Eden, when Satan seduced Eve and produced a child by her, Brother Bram said the seed she was holding would have finally, she would have finally become a mother by the will of God through a spoken word. She would have finally become a mother, but she couldn't wait. And she went into that. The delay, in some ways, is a death sentence for some people. Because it brings out the real you. It brings out the real person you are. You remember when Moses went up into the mount and the people were on the base of the mount there and they're kind of looking around and saying, man, he's not coming back. You know what? You know, he's dead. Nobody can survive up there in the mountain in the presence of God that long. He's dead. And you know what? We might as well go on. And you know what they produced in that time, in that delay? They produced a golden calf. They produced something that God, the only thing that God could do was judge it and destroy it. And he did. But it was because, in their opinion, things didn't happen in a certain time frame. And, you know, their expectations were not met. You know, their expectation didn't match the reality. Like I said on Sunday night in the biscuits. And thank you, by the way, for the people who sent pictures of cans of biscuits that they were enjoying. But nonetheless, the idea is that in that delay, it becomes a treacherous thing except for the believer. Except for the believer. And so what you find is that there are certain manifestations of things. Things come out. If the seeds are sown and we live in harvest time, you know, it's going to show what's really there. Do you realize what I'm saying, folks, applies to all of us? Because before this is all over, we're going to see the real you. We're going to see the real me. And I will tell you something. You're going to have more than just a seat on the front row. Sorry, guys. Or the second row, or the third row. You've got to have more than just an association with this thing. You're going to have more than just an acquaintance with, the people who believe the message. And, a trip to Jeffersonville once a year, or a handful of dirt from his grave, or whatever else. You're going to have more than that. Listen, Paul says, even if I give my body to be burned, if I surrender the loss of all things, and I can surrender everything in my life. I can sacrifice all kinds of things. And great sacrifices and great things that I've given up and great things that I've endured. Paul says if you don't have love, if you don't have the core of what's needed, the other things given up will really mean nothing. That's a sobering thing. I've discussed this with ministers, and I've known young men that have dabbled in this or that. A couple of men, young men in particular, that dabbled in the subject or in the area of homosexuality, and figured, by their own estimation, their own calculation, I can handle this. I can keep it under wraps. I can deal with this. It's just something that I have going on, and I can handle that. And I've watched, some of these young men. Some of them I know very personally, very well. And what they've done is they've come to a place where that spirit will actually drive them to the point where they're willing to give up everything to pursue something that is absolutely false, absolutely wrong, and perverted in the eyes of God. And I'm just referring scripturally here. That's not to say that, you know, people don't fall in traps. They do. But sometimes a person, they can dabble in things and not realize how powerful those spirits are and can cause them to say, I could lose the love of my family. I could lose the love of, people around me and my church and everything else. And in a moment, in an announcement, they could lose the whole thing. But they're willing to do it for something that's completely wrong. Not only against God's word, but against nature itself. And willing to forsake it all and lay it all down. What kind of spirit are we dealing with that would cause a person has all kinds of potential, but open their hearts to just something small at the beginning? Because Satan never comes in big. He always comes in small. He comes in like in seed form and deposits something in there. But that person be driven to give away everything, absolutely everything. And their life is marked by that for the rest of their days. Not that they couldn't be healed or not that they couldn't be delivered and so forth. But I'm saying that, you know, when a person goes down that road, let me tell you, that's not an easy path to come back on. That's not an easy thing to recover from. But yet that spirit is that strong and that subtle that they will actually, you know, cause those people to lay everything down. But I will tell you, it doesn't even stop there. There are lots of people who will turn right around going down that path and they'll say, well, you know what? A Christian is supposed to love and you're supposed to love me no matter what state I'm in. And they'll dare you to love them. They'll dare you. And they'll dare society to say, just go ahead and say something about it because, you know, we have the laws now that back us. And the Bible even says that you're supposed to love everybody. And I will tell you something. That is a perverted understanding of love. Because you can't take a wrong and turn it around into something right. That's why Paul says in that Colossians that we read in the very first of it there, and we're not really getting to the meat of that part. But Paul says, you know, I heard about your love for the word, and I heard about your love for one another, and I heard about your, you know, the passion that you have for the things of God. And he's commending them because they have a love that's moving in the right direction, or a love that's inspired by the right spirit. And the enemy will come and take the very concept of love and twist it just enough to cause a person to give everything away. You think about this. Think about this for a moment. And think about what it would be. What kind of spirit are we dealing with when that same devil would take a minister and cause him to give away everything because of something that's completely false? And deny the fact that God has sent a prophet. And that God has done great things in our time and give away every single thing. I'm just throwing the question out here. What is it? What kind of spirits are we actually dealing with? That's why, you know, I often say you better have more than just a seat on the front row or a handful of dirt or, you know, a piece of Brother Bram's floor from his den. How big was that floor in the first place? Or the satchel that looked like Brother Branham's, or a piece of his tie, or something else. Let me tell you, you better have more than that. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just asking the question, what kind of spirits really are we dealing with that just around the corner, just around the place of God is a world that if it could, it would sift you like wheat. It would absolutely destroy you and chop you into little bits and not think a thing of it. You think about the young people and the people that are influenced by, you know, they're forever elsewhere. They're bound by the media, bound by social media, bound by the music that's there. And let me tell you something. Brother Bam said if somebody's not born again, he said that music will eventually get them. He said, it'll capture an unregenerate heart. He said, eventually it'll do it. Because there's a power there. There's a spirit behind it that's actually calling to somebody. Let me tell you, you better have something bigger than a voice that calls through all of that stuff. You better have a voice that says, hey, this ground is off limits. This piece of property is off limits. And I will advise you, not only young people, but I advise every one of us that it does not, to me, it's not a bad thing at all that we would come to a place and go through a time of washing of our hands and our feet. Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What kind of spirits really are we dealing with when you watch girls and young girls and they feel like, well, fashion is the thing. And they might not use that word, but image is the thing and how I look. And I don't want to wear a skirt that's down, you know, below my knees because that can seem to be a certain way. And, you know, and actually sitting there and considering, well, it doesn't matter what Brother Barry says and it doesn't matter what the Scripture just said and it doesn't matter what Brother Branham said. What kind of spirits now are we dealing with there? I'm just asking a question. That's all. I'm just saying that. Because what we find now, listen, folks, we've arrived at the harvest time. And at the harvest time, you're not watching growing, you're watching manifestation. And in the time of manifestation, there's not a whole lot you can do, you know, to change that, except, Lord, I just surrender my life and sow my life with good seed rather than bad seed. I'm just asking the question, what kind of spirit are we talking about here? Because there's not anything that God has said that Satan has not taken and perverted it. And sometimes just a little. And it is completely contrary to the mind of God. What kind of spirit is it that would cause people to, you know, walk away from the church? I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about walking away from the place where the token exists and where there's safety and where there's covering and where there's forgiveness and where there's mercy. What kind of spirit is it that would cause young people to walk away and say, oh, there's nothing there? Hey, hold on now. Hold on. According to my Bible, there is something here. Because where two or three are gathered, then the presence of the Lord himself, he said he'd be here. And if he's here, mercy is here. If he's here, forgiveness is here. If he's here, deliverance is here. If he's here, healing is here. If he's here, grace is here. That's pretty good for a start. What kind of spirits are we dealing with that would cause people to become so hardened to the things of God that they can actually, you know, forsake it all and be willing to forsake it all? I say, Lord, make me never hardened enough that I can't be moved by the preaching of the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because it's in that delay, it's in that time period where people assume nothing's happening. And that time is intended by God to build character. Not for people to run amok and say, hey, I can put my feet up and I can do what I want. I can live whatever way I want to. And you know what? When the next 9/11 happens and it feels like we're going to slide down really closer to the change and I'll straighten my life up. Hey, that's a risky game to play. I'm just saying, that's a risky game to play. Today is the day. Today is it. Lord, wash me. And let me, when you come close to that thing, the idea was coming into the presence of God, not going out of it, but going into the presence of God. I got to come through brass first. And I know what God has judged. God has judged certain things. God has judged this world. God has, you know, seen the things in this world that are unfit. So before we enter into the presence of God, we're going to come through this washing process. And I'm just telling you, God made a big deal out of that. Musicians, if you'll just slip up here. I'm just saying, God made a big deal out of it. The real estate of Scripture, the amount of pages and words on this, cover a lot of territory. That's what I'm saying. Now, we thank God for the new birth because it puts Christ on the inside. But you know what? We still live in Laodicea. We still live in a world that's fallen. Don't go anywhere. It's something that if it matters that much to God, then it ought to matter to us. And then God takes it. And he makes it so that this laver is a place of washing. It's important for everyone to wash their hands and their feet and so forth as they entered into the presence of God. But for the ministry, God took it and he went like this. And he said, I want you to take off everything. Because we're not just talking about hands and feet here. We're talking about head to toe. We need... In our time we live in, the day we live in, after this week, we need stability. We don't need compromise. We need stability. We need an anchor. And thank God we have an anchor. The anchor, hey, if you haven't heard, the anchor isn't me. The anchor is Christ. And there's a lot of people who, I believe, in times ahead of us, they're looking for stability. They're looking for things that are solid and things that are sure. We don't have it because we're, you know, somehow different than others. I believe that by God's grace, He leads us in a certain path, a certain direction. And I thank God for that. I thank God a lot for that. And I will tell you something. God loves you, and He wants the very best for you. And anything that takes away from that, the thief comes but to steal, destroy, and to rob, and to take away, and to cause confusion, and to cause unrest, and to cause division. That's what the thief comes to do. But there's something about it. When God speaks, there's a peace that goes with that. There's just a peace and a stability that goes with that. Therefore, I think it's an important thing for us to, like Brother Branham said, and the scriptures often say, for us to pray continually. And it's what Paul commends the Colossian church for. Yeah? That he says, I marvel at your faith and your love of the faith and your love for each other. And you know, that you pray one for another. And I'm going to pray for you that God would give you a knowledge of His will and all spiritual understanding. Because you're not going to get it from anywhere else. The Holy Spirit wants to give. He wants to impart things to you. And He's going to do it in a certain environment when people approach Him the right way. And that's how it's going to happen. Lord, let's stand to our feet. Sorry to keep you long. Lord, help my spirit to match the spirit of the land we're going to. I believe it's an important thing for us to strive to stay in the atmosphere of God. I think it was Finney one time. He was on a train. And Charles Finney was leaving a meeting, and he was on a train. Back then, that's how people crisscrossed the country. And Finney was there, and he was just thinking about the goodness of God, and he thanking Him for what had happened during the meetings and a revival that he was at. He was there for a week or so, and got up and went to the restroom, came back and sat down again. And he was just looking in the mirror, and he said, "You know, God, just a wretch like me, and you've used me." And he was just, this is his testimony. He's just looking at that. And come back, and he sat down. He said this man was sitting right across from him, you know, in the train. The old trains had seats that faced one another, and this man's looking at him, and he got tears in his eyes. He's just weeping, and he's looking at Finney, and he says, "Sir, what manner of man are you? For I am reminded of my sin even now." That's what he said. "What manner of man are you?" He said, "For I am reminded of my sin even now." And the man just fell on his knees in front of Finney there, you know, around on his seat, and he just began to cry out to God and repent. And he said, just one after the other, he said, and by the time, you know, it was over, everyone in that whole train car was affected by the presence of God. Finney didn't preach, he didn't say anything. It was just the presence of God was following him, and everybody in that compartment was affected by the presence of God. And we have something better than what Finney had. Lord, may that presence follow me. May that anoint me in my life. And may, Lord, whenever something comes up, let me wash my hands of that. Let me wash my feet of that. I don't want to walk that way. I don't want to walk that way. I want to walk in the way that's clean so that the presence of God can always be there. Because I only got two dials in my car. I only got two dials I'm watching. Is this the will of God? And is the presence of God there? And if it is, you know what? He's going to lead me and guide me. Lord, let me keep my eyes on those two dials so I can see just exactly where it is. First line. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn.
once again now. Oh, yes, the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, and I have fallen on my knees, holds in spite of the storm.
I give myself away. I give myself away. Let's just worship Him for just a little while. I give myself away. Self away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. My life is in your hands, Lord. I long to see your desires revealed in me, so I give myself. Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart.
Make this your prayer now. Take my life, Lord.
As a living sacrifice, all my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. So I give myself away.
Where's Jared? Jared.
Give myself away so you can use me. Away. Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. Give myself to you. My life is not my own, and to you I belong. Well, I give myself to you. I give myself. Thank you. Father God, in this atmosphere where you're able to deal with hearts, I just pray, Lord, that every one of us, every single one of us would have that, just that desire, Lord, to be checked, a desire to wash, a desire, Lord, to be clean in your presence, a desire, Lord, to be ready to enter into that golden place. That, Father God, you would just prepare your people. And Lord, I believe you've given a word in this last day that makes us aware of our faults and our failures and inspires us to be better, better people, better believers, better representatives of the kingdom. We don't just want to be churchgoers. We don't want to be people that know the language, got the dress code. We want to be people that live the life. We want to be people that display the token in our lives. We want to be like Jesus. So, Father, I just pray you would turn our eyes heavenward. Deal with us according to your mercy, not according to your law. And we'll give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Heal those that are sick and need your touch today, Lord. There are many. Not only the physical part of healing, but Lord, even the mental struggles we go through. And I pray, dear God, that you would just bring deliverance to those that maybe, Lord, the enemy is just trying to sow seeds in their spirit, sow seeds in their heart. It would cause them, Lord, to do something that would be completely contrary to the will of God. Lord, I pray that you would just tap their heart today. We love you and we thank you. We believe in you. And we want to walk with you the rest of our days on this earth. Just I pray, help us keep our eyes on the right dials. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you in spirit and truth. We worship you, spirit and in truth. For we have heard your word and felt your presence. As you go this morning, God bless you.